We stand for a verse and agree to our vows. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve.
And to give his life as a ransom for many.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We invite our children to come forward. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading from Mark's Gospel today is quite a fitting one. If you look at it in your Bible, you'll see that Jesus and the men are walking along, and he's teaching, and it's the last thing that they do before they enter into the city of Jerusalem. Now they're walking along, they encounter a blind man, and Mark keeps things moving along rather quickly, and suddenly it's Palm Sunday, just like next week. Now, this is a bit of interesting information here, but it's not the most surprising thing about our text. I mean, look at this. Jesus has just told the men that he is going to be handed over, beaten, flogged, and killed, and rise in 3 days. And what is the reaction from the men? Nothing. It's like they didn't even hear it. James and John have other things on their minds, specifically places of honor in the kingdom. Well, the other 10 are not having it, and to quell their anger, Jesus lets them know what it's like to be great in the kingdom of God. Not to be served, but to serve. Even Jesus, he came to serve and give his life. Now we know that. We know that Jesus gave his life once and for all, but did his service stop at his resurrection? Well, the writer of Hebrews this morning helps us answer that question. And he begins by explaining what a human servant looks like in the form of the high priest in the temple. Now, when it comes to the high priests in the Old Testament, we only know a few of their names: Aaron, Eli, Zadok, and we can even sort of put Caiaphas in there, who's the high priest of the time where Jesus is in his ministry, kind of count the Old Testament time stopping at the resurrection of our Lord. Now, all of these men were appointed to the office as these agents. They were taken from the people to deal with the things of God in regards to service in the temple. What that means is that the high priest acted on behalf of the community by offering gifts of sacrifices on account of sin. When the priest did this for the people, he stood before God representing every one of them. And to offer gifts and sacrifices meant everything that was required for worship to take place, from the presentation of the gifts all the way until it was burnt as an offering. Now, if we begin to think that these men were somehow above all others, we read that they too were encumbered by sin. See, the priest understood the debilitating effects of sin and was in the same place as the people. He served, and since he was tempted in every way, just like all the people are, therefore he too had to make offerings for himself, for his sins, before he could conduct offerings for the people. It was a fine balance to walk, understanding the weakness of people, yet at the same time teaching them to amend their ways while offering sacrifices for forgiveness. Now, before we start thinking that these men hold some high honor because of what they do, the writer of Hebrews says that's not the case at all. Because the high priest was a weak sinner rather than a spiritual superhero, his honor only comes from the calling by God to service. This call by the Lord enables him to do what he could not do on his own, to offer sacrifices on behalf of sin. And by offering sacrifices for sin, the high priest, the highest office holder, becomes the servant of all. Now, if you've been keeping score here, the writer has laid out not only the person and duties of the high priest, but also how Jesus is similar to them in the temple. See, when it comes to seeing Jesus as our high priest, like the others, he did not place himself in the office. Rather, he was placed there by the Father. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand." But Jesus also differed in five different areas. One, he was without sin. Two, he was not a son of Aaron. Third, he was anointed by God rather than by another priest. He did not become high priest by following the laws, but rather by God's decree. And finally, God's decree in Psalm 110, "You are a priest in the order of Melchizedek," makes Jesus an eternal priest, not a temporal one like all of the others. But how does the eternal Son of God understand the weakness of human sin like the other priests? He comes to us and in his incarnation experiences the full extent of human weakness in order to truly be a sympathetic high priest. This experience and this suffering prepared him to present offerings to God on behalf of the people. The writer tells us that during the days of Jesus's life on earth, he learned obedience to God. Now, this obedience has two sides to it, both passive and active. The passive side was Jesus' obedience in suffering. He suffered all kinds of abuse. Remember, they will mock him, spit on him, and flog him, culminating in his trial and crucifixion. He endured the penalty of sin for sinners and the effects of sins on others. But this was not his only suffering. He suffered under the threat of death that lays so heavily on all of humanity. And I'm not talking about that one moment in time that occurs at the end of a human's life, but death as a dark power that blights out the whole human life, a tyrant that terrifies and enslaves all humanity, an enemy that is allied with Satan. This type of suffering all too often leads people to rebel against God, but not Jesus. Through this suffering, he learned true obedience to God. Therefore, it is said of Jesus, he was tempted in every way and yet without sin. As his passive obedience was marked by suffering, his active obedience was marked by prayer. His whole life was a life of prayer, as the writer tells us that he offered up prayers and supplications as sacrifices to the Lord. And God heard his prayers because of his obedience in suffering. Putting these together, Jesus becomes the model student, the perfect son, in preparation to become our high priest. But remember, priests make sacrifices, and that's what Jesus did. He gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for sin. His death pays our price. And after 3 days, by raising Jesus from the dead and enthroning him as our high priest, God brought Jesus to the goal of his earthly ministry. By his deliverance from death, he becomes the source of eternal salvation. It is an eternal state that comes from eternal redemption through his blood shed for you. The Son of God, who was sent to earth, returns back to God as high priest of all humanity. The obedience that he learned on earth, he now requires of his disciples. The deliverance from death that he sought from God through prayer, he now grants to those who follow him. The perfection that he had gained by his obedience, he now offers to those who obey him. As Jesus is walking along the road teaching his disciples, he lays all this out for them, his suffering and his service. And by his suffering, death, and resurrection, and appointment as high priest, Jesus has become the very thing that he wanted his men to be. Jesus is greatest of all because he is the servant of all. As high priest, Jesus serves by speaking the words of eternal salvation to his followers. And we have been forgiven of our sins by the work of the same high priest. And now we can approach the throne of grace confidently with the full assurance of faith. This was something the disciples just simply could not understand at the time. But by his grace and mercy and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe Jesus as our high priest, serving each and every one of us who believe in him with eternal life. Amen. We continue with our hymn.